Good morning and welcome to Dare to Dream. It's our joy to be with you this morning. I hope you've had a wonderful Thanksgiving week with your family. I pray that your time was really filled with the joy of the Lord as you dare to dream. I hope you were able to speak life into your children and into each member of your family, because that's what Dare to Dream is all about, speaking life one into the other. Our main focus has always been that the dream is the womb for fantasy or vision. Which is your womb filled with? Fantasy? That's just a pie in the sky that says, I would love to do it. I call it the Walter Mitty syndrome, where you just imagine things and you create environments in your brain, but you never really get it off into your hands and your feet, and you accomplish nothing. Vision, on the other hand, that's where God buries deep within your heart a desire and a hope and a fulfillment that is so strong that you have to walk it out. You must put it to work. You must make your hands to the labor. And from that, the faith that you have in God and God working his will in you, his good pleasure, you work out that dream to the fullness of a great vision that touches the lives. In Ephesians chapter 1, we've been talking about that predetermined point of arrival of why Jesus gave us his strength that God gave him so that we can go forward to the praise of his glory. That predetermined point of arrival, Ephesians, many interpret that predestination. I just think we're on a journey of life. And as that journey of life, we move forward each step by step. God draws us closer to his place of that predetermined point of praise to his glory. I pray that your dreams are full of vision, not fantasy. This morning, I have the joy to have a fellow laborer in Christ, a friend, Steve Garrett. Steve is the author of the song that is the intro to our time as Dare to Dream, Holy is the Lord. And we haven't really had a chance to play that song in its entirety. And maybe one of these times we'll play it fully. But today we have Steve with us, and he is a fellow minister that I was able to work with here in the Downingtown area in Pennsylvania. And part of his dream decided that he'd pick up and move to Nashville. And as part of that dream, he has been walking out that journey of life that has just been a blessing to me and an encouragement to me. And I thought it'd be great to share with you his heart as he shares what God is doing in his life. Steve, what would you have to say to us?
Well, hi, Bruce. Greetings from Nashville, Tennessee. Always, Pennsylvania is always going to be home for me, though. But great to be on with you. I'm thrilled that you're talking about dreams and vision. That's an important topic for me. I happen to talk about it quite a bit, not only among friends, but even certainly among ministry colleagues here in Nashville. And I think it's totally key to us living a life that's really exciting is when you discover the dream, and I would even say the God-designed dream, you know, that he's placed in us. It really is, I think, his heart that we discover, the way that he's wired us, the purpose he's given us when we really find life in him, abiding in him. That's where the dream's birthed, and out of that, you know, we begin to, I think, as we grow and we seek him, and God uses all kinds of things to kind of show us not just something that we can't see, but something that we can see. I think that's where vision starts to come into focus. And so, yeah, I love this topic. I'm glad you're talking about it.
The joy of being able to have dreams fulfilled, you know, we've been reading out of Ephesians, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. You know, trying to find those dreams inside his will, trying to find ourselves walking in the paths that he has for us is just the thrill of, I think, part of life and working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Tell us a little bit about how you got involved in music.
Well, I feel like I've been involved in music ever since I can remember. Grew up in a musical family, and so music was just a part of the atmosphere, a key part of the atmosphere I grew up in. Mom and dad, both singers. My dad, was an incredible singer. He went home to be with the Lord back in 2007. I'm sure he's still singing, for sure. But yeah, I mean, just incredible singer. Had a tenor voice like Frank Sinatra, just incredible. And And so I'm really grateful for the gift of music. I'm just definitely loved hearing it, and from a young age was singing. You know, mom and dad were in full-time evangelistic ministry, and so I grew up as soon as I was able to hold a microphone and sing on key, I think they had me up on platform. So
I've never been able to achieve that personally, so I'm glad you could.
It just takes time, Bruce.
Well, there's been a lot of time.
You'll have all eternity, the perfected
glory.
So that was I think just became a real joy and an expression and a way to experience God's presence. And so I would say it went to another level when I felt like, hey, I had something to create, and had a love for, tried out different kinds of instruments, and found the guitar was my favorite love, and I was pretty good at it, and started to write songs in high school, and just stepping out with my own musical voice, and so that led to recording some pretty bad demos as a teenager and a college student, but eventually I felt like I was able to hone at least the actual craft of writing a song and performance and all that. But I think the greatest thing that happened to me, because I had committed my life to Jesus when I was young and then really had a real encounter with God in a whole new way, I rededicated my life to the Lord in high school, and I felt like music became a way in which I could communicate this reality of who God is to me, and so it's just been a joy to do that. As I was graduating from college and went into full-time ministry as a youth pastor, serving with you.
It wasn't that exciting. Now, before you get into that, you actually went to college for a political science degree, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I've had kind of a multiplicity of interests. I would say right now that, I look back, my desire has always been very interested in a couple of different spheres of society, music, arts and entertainment being one, but the other being government. And so I coming out of high school and studied Bible college for a year, but really felt like I wanted to expand my horizons a little bit and explore where faith and culture intersect. And so I transferred to Westchester University and studied political science. And I thought, well, maybe I'll go into law or government or some other thing. But God had other plans, and I did work for local government for a while. But at least what I was doing as a fresh out of college, it just was not the right fit for me. I think I would have rather watched grass grow. So I
is that how God moved your vision from political science to kids and music and ministry?
Exactly. Yeah, and I think for me it's been interesting. So the door opened for me to come on church staff, and I felt like, yes, this is it. And I just grew musically during that journey as a youth pastor and a worship pastor, and began to write. And I really thought, well, maybe I'm never going to do anything in politics or government again. But it was interesting, and I know there's a lot of gaps to fill in terms of that story. But what's really cool is that fast forward to today, and having moved to Nashville and recorded records and gotten a chance to contribute to all kinds of different musical projects and doing worship, and just God's really connected me in the city. One of the cool things, full circle, even with respect to government and politics and all that, is that I've had the chance to, among other things, being a worship pastor here and an artist and a singer-songwriter, is I've had a chance to establish, to forge a prayer ministry that really is connected to both city leaders and government leaders. In fact, this last week I was leading worship for a prayer gathering with the mayor of our city and all the aldermen. We got a chance to pray with them and pray for them and encourage them. And I've done that at the Capitol, the state capitol, Nashville. And so there's just really neat kind of intersection of all these dreams that God's placed in my heart to make an impact on the church and on leaders and on arts and entertainment and then even the government sphere. And I feel like somehow all of those things have come together in this really cool way that only God could have done, this many years later.
Because we had the joy of serving together at Praise Fellowship Church there in Downingtown with your brother as senior pastor, Rob Garrett, of course, working alongside your father was such a blessing, as you were speaking of him earlier, and the joy that I had of both Bob and Rob speaking into my life and watching what was happening at Praise and the family. You have several brothers who are all part of the what you called Pilgrim's Progress as part of your step forward into the musical world. There was a time in your life that was, I would assume, quite difficult as you were trying to choose whether to stay in Pennsylvania or move to Tennessee. And what did God use in your life as the practical to see that your dream was turning into vision and not just a fantasy?
Well, you know, there was a couple of, if I think back, I guess some things that are just coming to my mind right now. I mean, it's just, there were a couple of things that God used to make that, allow me to make a big jump from leaving my, you know, the nest, my safe place, what I really knew.
Yeah, and it was a safe place. You guys were doing a wonderful job, and you being a worship minister at Praise, it was a wonderful life and experience that was happening.
Yeah, exactly. So in some ways, it wouldn't make sense unless, you know, you really knew God was calling you to do it. I guess Nashville is certainly full of people who have had the dream that just going to make it big, but I really think as a pastor, even then, back in 2002, 2001, when I was or so, when I was really praying through all of this with my wife and our family, I think I had a better sense of, okay, Lord, what do you really want? I mean, I could doing what I'm doing here, or I could step out into kind of the unknown, and knowing that, okay, I definitely had some interest from Nashville at that point. We had already recorded a record, and I had started to have some labels recording me. From Nashville, and so we started to have a connection there, but still was a big step because, I mean, you can be a big fish in a small pond in other places, but not, you know, being a talented singer or songwriter or whatever in this town is a dime a dozen. So yeah, it was a big step. We felt like God was doing it, and there was one thing a friend of mine, a real mentor, spiritual daddy of sorts, said to me. He said, "You know, Steve, sometimes you've got to go where you've never been to get what you've never had."
Wow!
And I remember thinking about that, and just it was almost like something just clicked, and I thought of, you know, faith dreaming. Sometimes when God's called to do something, He gives you a desire, but it could be really scary, and He calls you to step out to unknown, you know, and kind of like that song that Hillsong wrote, Oceans, you know, call me out to the, you know, the water, to the great unknown. And I that's kind of what I felt, you know, kind of like Abraham. He was called to go somewhere where he was unfamiliar with. And so for me, that was a big step because I was leaving a lot of the family. And so I would say that encouragement from him, and then even my just even praying about it and feeling this sense, I think a greater sense of faith and expectancy and hope even than fear. And that's when you're confident in what God's placed in you, perfect love really does cast out all fear. Thank God for my wife. I mean, having people in your life who can say, I believe in you, and just affirming what God's placed in you allows you to take risks. And I think believers should take godly, you know, wise, but take risks to advance the kingdom. And it's hard to believe that my wife and I and our families have been here in Music City for, man, I mean, what, 13 years almost, and the way God has just blessed the journey, and it hasn't been without difficulties and challenges for sure, but just extraordinary stories of God's faithfulness and allowing me to see the dreams of my heart start to unfold, and they still are, you know, but it really was encouragement from the Holy Spirit, but also from those who are very, very close to me, and I felt that around me, and that really, I felt like it propelled me to take a big leap.
That was a big leap. That was quite a statement that you gave. Sometimes you have to go where you have never been in order to get where you are meant to be. Is that the sentence?
Yeah, to get what you've never had.
To get what you never had.
Yeah.
That is, wow.
Yeah.
I think I have the person that might have said that to Spirit.
I'll bet you do.
That sounds like a great statement. In order to take the risk, and you did take a huge risk as we were praying with you and as you were making those decisions and tearing away from your family because of the deep family ties and the emotional strength that you draw from each other, as well as, you know, the church that you had been ministering into for the number of years, and leaving those sheep behind to move on to what God was calling you into. It was a joy to be able to pray with you with all of that. But that was a huge step of faith as you went to there with no real guarantees of ministry opportunities, no real guarantees of being able to succeed, like you said, in a town that there are very many talented individuals, each seeking to see their vision full. And God used all of that to really bring you forth in a stronger way. If, as I watched you grow in your ministry opportunities, even becoming a senior pastor, and then moving on and finding the music and the prayer ministry that you have there around the city, and now back into ministry again with what you're doing. It's been a thrill to watch with that. Now, recently, you just are getting ready to release another album, and you got a song that you just wrote?
Yes. In fact, you talk about dreams. I have one of the interesting things about my journey is that I've certainly been I got the chance to do music here in Nashville in a variety of ways. But early on, God also opened up the door. It was like God called me, intersected both the musical calling of my life with a leadership role, and particularly pastoral, and just being a part of the local church in a leadership capacity. So that was an interesting thing. But I had recorded a record, finished a record in 2005 called Eavesdropping. I was really happy about a full-length record, studio record that we did here in Nashville with my good friend and producer Scott Williamson. And not too soon after I released that record, I was asked to come on staff at a very large church in Nashville. And I, in my heart, I had to be willing to just lay it down and say, okay, maybe I'm going to come off the road and not really do much travel, and didn't know what that meant for me in terms of recording any more music. I love playing it. I feel more alive when I just create music and write and perform, regardless of who or how much or how, you know, where. That's a little secondary or tertiary to just the fact that I love being creative. And I felt like, well, maybe I have to lay this down, you know, when I stepped into pastoral ministry. And I have, actually, to some degree, although I've had lots of creative outlets, but it's been 10 years since I have recorded my own studio project. I've contributed to other records for Promise Keepers and Integrity and Kingsway and all the rest of it, which has been nice. But I have my own music too, and I wanted to record it. And so it was a little bit of a disappointment for me. And my producer has been, actually, in a nice way, been bothering me, saying, "Steve, you got more to say." And I was thinking, "Do I really, man? I just, you know, I'm a pastor now, and not traveling as much, and maybe I'll never." And I was kind of wrestling with God a little about that. And so I had, as a baby step of faith a few years ago, I decided, okay, I finally just keep Scott off my back. I said, "Scott, you know, all right, let's just record. Maybe it's time to record again. Let's just start. Let's get a few demos, vocal demos of my music, and then we'll just see." So we did that, and then I just sat on it, and I kept on doing my thing and busy with pastoral ministry and all the rest of it. So one of the songs that I had demoed with him maybe 2 years ago was a song called "Still the Same." And a few months ago, he texted me and he said, "Hey Steve, stop by my studio on your way back from your church office. I want to play something for you." And I thought, well, he was going to play me something he was working on. He's always working on something. He's a producer. So I guess sit down behind his console, and boom, up comes this fully produced track with the best session players. There's my guitar, I can hear that, and my voice, but a whole produced lush track with guitars and bass and just drums, cool keyboards, production, all this stuff. And he had surprised me, and he had called in favors all of our session buddies who wanted to help bring this to reality, and he surprised me with a finished track and said, "Steve, this is to remind you that you've got more to say." And here we are, a few months later. I've decided to release it to iTunes and start to take steps to actually make a new record. And so I've gotten all the songs written, and God's just opening up the door for me to do that. So this is my first single from the new record that will be out sometime early next year once we finish the recording, and it's called "Still the Same," and I'm pretty excited about it.
We can go ahead and play that, Steve?
Yeah, go ahead. We'd love for you to hear it.
Love to hear it.
When everything's broken, I call your name. 'Cause everything changes, but you're still the same.
That is a real blessing that our God is still the same in all the craziness of life that he throws at us. Praise him.
Yeah, this song was really, it's based on Hebrews 13:8, which speaks of Jesus being the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I can't think of a better, more hopeful thing to say to people, encouragement to give, than to point people towards Jesus. I mean, he is the constant. He doesn't just give life, he is life. And I hope that this song, and really the message of my life is demonstrating the constancy and the faithfulness of God through Jesus Christ.
George Mueller made a quote, Steve, that said, "The vigor of our spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Word in our life and thoughts." How would you respond to that kind of statement?
I think it's totally true. I think the degree to which we allow other things to take the place of of God's word and the person of Jesus as our Lord, our Savior, our only hope. I think that makes all the difference in the world. Yeah.
Yeah, that's you know, the word of God that brings faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And for us to step forward in faith, to make our vision come forward with what God has placed in our spirit, that faith got to get pretty powerful. You've had some major steps of, I thought, jumping off into cliffs. God, what Holy Spirit put into my spirit was when Aslan blew his breath for his prince and princesses out of Narnia. The books came to that Aslan caught them as they were jumping off the cliffs to take them to their next place of their glory, of his, what he was planning for them. Matthew 22:29 says that Jesus answered them and says, "You are wrong because you neither know the scriptures nor the power of God." And Steve, I want to say thank you for your life and for your testimony of what you've given in my life because of the faith walk that you're in. Personally, you have encouraged me, and I am thrilled to have you as part of my life in the sharpening of who I am. And you know the scriptures, and you have exemplified the power of God in your life and in your wife and your children. And it's a joy to have you on the program this morning.
Thank you.
As you've shared your heart with us, and it's just a thrill to know the faith walk that you and Melissa have walked in, and I am so glad that you were able to be with us as we've been talking about daring to dream. When you dare to dream, I would say to our friends and our listeners, that's going to be a cost. There is that place where you're going to have to sacrifice. That statement that Steve quoted earlier that said, you're never going to arrive where did I write that? I got to find my note because it was so powerful. Could you give that quote again, Steve?
Yeah. Sometimes you've got to go where you've never been to get what you've never gotten. Something
wow.
like that.
Yeah, that's real close to that. And, you know, to go where you've never been is a place that's going to be costly. It's going to be emotional costly as far as your identity. It's going to be financially costly because there's going to be sacrifices in order to get to that place. There's going to be family ties. There's going to be friends that you're going to find in the new place, but leaving friends past, you know, those friends never actually leave, but you're not going to be able to be fellowship with them. And that identity of who you think you are actually gets changed around with the new destiny and identity that God is bringing forward. And friends, as we think about daring to dream, are you willing to make those sacrifices? Are you willing to go where you've not gone before in order to arrive at that place of God's journey in your life to bring you to that point where Jesus' praise is not only on your lips but in your actions? And when our walk and our talk meet one another, that's really the place that people begin to believe that you believe what you say and what you're doing is most important. As you walk out your life, I release Holy Spirit's joy. I release the thrill of his calling and the joy of the burden that he would place on you. Yes, even a burden. Burdens for Jesus that he gives us are light and easy. And I pray that you'll have the discernment between the burden that the world would put on you as to the joy of the vision that God places in your heart, that you will run with that joy to the fullness that God has given you and empowered you with the gifts and with Holy Spirit being part of your life. May you dare to dream and find the joy of his calling. Go forward in joy. If you don't have a house of worship, I pray that you will find that place of worship today. I invite you out to Hopewell Community Church in Pottstown, Pennsylvania, just north of Route 422, at the Five Points of what you want to worship. Iron sharpening iron. Be sure you get into your house of worship that's going to be able to see Jesus glorified.